ことです。
Welcome to another edition of the Coffee Cast with Cation. Although here at the Australian Open, it's hard to do coffee when it's like 200 degrees outside. And Chris, I don't even know if are you a coffee guy?
I'm not a coffee drinker.
So, I mean, let's just go without it. I've got some water. I haven't had anything yet to drink today.
Especially with this type of heat, it's going to be important to hydrate with as much water and electrolytes as I can. So, yeah. Aussie might want to try to change the name up a little bit if you can.
All right. Well, we'll just call it the Podcast with Cation. Sponsored by New Balance, our good friends at New Balance. The Australian Open opens tomorrow. All the new kits will be on display. Make sure you check it out at newbalance.com. And our guests, you've already heard from him, Mr. Christopher Eubanks. Are you familiar with the work of comedian Zach Galifianakis?
I am.
We are literally at this moment between two ferns. Like, we're literally doing the Between Two Ferns show without him being here. So I think you're going to have to provide the comedian role today.
I'll see if I can do my
best. You're a very funny guy.
Very big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
But I'll see if I can do my best.
We had tried to do this during the indoor challengers. It was my schedule that got away from us at that point, having to do 7 or 8 matches in a day.
It's quite the busy man you are.
I know, but this is a little bit more relaxing.
Yeah, no kidding. Being here, Melbourne, preparing to play, you know, I think we might have chosen the busiest day of them all to finally get it done.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just glad we finally have the ability to sit down and get right to it, so I'm excited for it.
So today is a day where you had a hit, and I saw you were walking out with Isner. Going to get hit in with the big fella.
I did.
I assume there are some rivalries that have been discussed between the two of you.
You know, it's kind of tough at this point. You know, if I want to get into a, you know, quality of life after a degree, you know, that's where I think Georgia Tech, you know, I can make my argument. And I can pitch it pretty well. On the athletic fronts, we're not where we're going to be. I can say that. Most of our sports, Georgia Tech football just hired Jeff Collins. Georgia Tech basketball is still on the rise, probably in a rebuild year. And Georgia Tech tennis, I think we're going to have some studs coming through in the next few years. So right now I'll stay as reserved as I can and, you know, just allow the big fella to wolf as much as he wants. But in a few years' time, I think all that wolfing is going to cease.
I'm old enough that when I was kind of a younger guy, there was Kenny Anderson.
Yeah, Kenny Anderson.
There was Dennis Scott. Steph Marbury. I mean, like, that was – Georgia Tech was
Brian Oliver,
it, man.
Dennis,
like,
Scott. Yeah,
they were
the
gods.
Lethal Three, Mark Price. We can go further back than that.
Yes.
John Sally. We can we produce some ballers. We produce some athletes in general in all sports, you know. I think right now we're just in the bit of a lull. You know, it kind of happens like that. Academics are starting, you know, take control and as well they should, don't get me wrong, but I think we're gonna next few years find a, you know, select few people that can handle, you know, tough academics as well as excel athletically, and we're gonna, you know, put Georgia Tech back on the map in a few different areas. So
I have to admit, I don't know why you chose Georgia Tech.
I'm from Atlanta.
I know that, born and raised
in Atlanta. Didn't get recruited by too many schools.
Really?
Georgia Tech was one of the few schools that actually reached out and stayed consistent with it. So I mean, in some respects, that made the decision easy. I felt like I was going to a coach that knew how to develop players and was going to develop my game. It was going to allow me to continue to do some of the training that I have been doing with certain pros that lived in town. And I figured it was just the best fit all around.
So it's obviously pretty rare that somebody is rather unheralded as a junior and then has a very successful professional career.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's still possible, and this is a pretty big question to kind of open with, but do you think that is something that's still going to be possible with the changes to the transition tour, the world, ITF World Tour and all that, and the changes at the challenger level?
I kind of thought through this, and I still haven't been able to come up with a concrete answer to that question. I think what it will do for Americans, it will continue to urge them that it is important to go to college and play college tennis if you aren't at that level just yet. I think in my case, I went to college, I excelled, and because I was able to excel, it gave me opportunities for wild cards into challengers. I think challenger wild cards are going to start being a little bit more respected now. They're going to be a little bit more like gold, so when you have that opportunity, you want to make the most of them. And I think using college will be a great pathway to see what players are the most deserving and what players can we help, you know, expedite the process of moving through the transition tour, through the challenges, and then on up to the ATP Tour. So I think that's going to be one of the big things. It's going to be allowing players to see, you know what, kind of borderline, I need to go to college. Because if I can go to college and I can excel, I might not have to play as many of the transition tour tournaments. I can, you know, get a couple of opportunities and challenge the wild cards. And then after you're given the opportunity, it's up to you what you do with it. So I think that's kind of going to be a thing we're going to start seeing in a pathway that I'm hoping can even elevate college tennis to a greater heights.
That's, I think you're maybe the first person I've actually seen who said that, because a lot of people think it's going to kill college tennis as a legitimate pathway to the pros. But you think it actually has the opportunity really to develop more players.
Absolutely. But I also think it's up to the player to choose the school for them that they think is going to be the best for them. I think coaches are going to have to, you know, they're going to have to be selective in who they're recruiting and who they want to bring into their programs because players are going to come in now with the expectations of, you know, I want to come in, I want to be a pro. I want to come in, I want to be one of the best players in college tennis. I want to compete in challengers. And, you know, will you be able to help me elevate my game to that level?
Yeah.
Some coaches are going to have to answer that question, whether they can or not. You know, they're going to probably always tell the kid, of course, you know, we have the best resources, you know, the best facilities and all that. But at the end of the day, when he gets on court and you're struggling, you know, with a shot or mentally, what can the coach come to you and be able to help you through those tough times and help elevate your game as a whole? So I personally, I think that that's – I'm a very optimistic person in general. So I think that's one of the, I guess, the optimistic, you know, viewpoints that I have on the entire situation. Because when it first came out, I said, man, if I had to do this and go play transition tour tournaments that didn't grant ATP points, and, you know, I honestly don't know how I would have – I squeezed right in at the right time. But, you know, it's a change that you know, there's not much you can do about it now except – find optimistic ways to look at it and ways to progress through it, because if you continue to complain, you know, it won't be beneficial for anyone.
I would agree that you're a very positive person. Where did that come from?
Honestly, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think, you know, there's a certain innocence that's associated with being a little bit naive and trying to always think, you know, super optimistically. And personally, I enjoy that. Granted, I'm no fool. Like, I can look at certain situations and you know, call it for what it is. But at the same time, I feel like if you're yourself the opportunity to see things through more of an optimistic lens, a positive lens, you maybe, you know, alleviate a little bit of stress, you know, allow yourself to kind of just, you know, flow through life as a, you know, much better person, much happier person. So that's just the way I try to look at it, and just keep my happiness first, and no one, you know, not too many pessimistic people are very happy, so I just try to, you know, live it that way.
I did a podcast 2 days ago now with Jameer, who I know you know very well.
Yeah, extremely well.
I've gotten to know him very well over the years as well, and we talked a little bit about when he made his transition into becoming a no longer a professional, and how he was not happy. And I'm wondering if he's actually talked to you about that, how he approached things then and how he approaches things now, or if you've had any advice imparted upon you by some of the other professionals.
Not really. No, okay. It hasn't gotten to that point just yet. I do understand tennis is a tough sport, not only physically but mentally as well.
Yeah.
Not necessarily only on the court, but between doing a lot of the travel on your own and you know, trying to find ways to keep yourself motivated week in and week out. So there was a time in my first year that I kind of began to, you know, hit a little bit of a wall where, you know, you kind of hit that point where you're saying, you know, man, this is getting tough. And one of the things I did, I began to travel a lot more with Kevin King and Dean O'Brien.
Yeah.
And we kind of used it as like a team. We all traveled together. We practiced together. We ate together. And then it kind of rejuvenated myself. I know I can't speak for Kevin, but I know it rejuvenated me, and it allowed me to kind of, you know, have a better outlook on things and what the tour life is like.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing 3 or 4 months of travel all by yourself, things can get pretty lonely, you can get pretty old really quickly, and then you're stuck, you know, wondering, you know, why you're even doing it. So from that standpoint, that's probably the only you know, hint of you know, fatigue mentally that I come across, I guess I'd hate to say unhappiness, but, you know, for lack of a better word, we could say unhappiness. And just having those guys around just gave me the energy that I needed to kind of keep going on. I'm sure if that time comes again and I do need someone to talk to, I know Jameer is going to be a great resource for me, because This is a guy that I grew up idolizing from the time I was 4 and 5 years old.
Yeah.
From the same part of Atlanta. He used to practice together. I used to practice with his dad, his younger siblings, his older siblings. His older brother coached me for a span of time. So they're like family.
Yeah.
His entire family has been over to my house.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're like family. So I know when that time comes, I'll be able to go to him and we can talk through that. But, yeah, so at the time being, no, it hasn't really come to that just yet.
But I'm sure there's also just kind of that that wisdom from being around him.
Yeah,
and being
absolutely.
Around his family as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely, 100%. Even just, you know, him coming to my practices, him watching my matches. He's a guy that I have the utmost respect for as a tennis player as well as a person. So when he says something to me, it sticks a little bit harder than even, you know, my coach.
Yeah.
It just is because we have that relationship. I trust the guy to the utmost, and I have so much respect for him that, you know, when he does offer – when he opens his mouth to say something, my ears are perked. I listen to everything he says. So if it comes to that point, you know, I'll be all ears again just like I am any other time.
You obviously, through him, got the opportunity to hit with Serena yesterday.
I did.
Are you at a point where, like, for me, to be perfectly honest, I just saw Agassi walk past, like, about 5 minutes before you came by, and I was just like, holy shit, it's Andre. Like, I still got that moment, like, of being a kid again, you know? Do you have those moments? Are you past them? This is not your first time being around it, but...
Yesterday was probably the first time I've had that moment in a while.
Yeah.
In a while, I would probably say since 2017 U.S. Open, I practiced with Federer for the first time.
Yeah,
and practiced with him again this past 2018 U.S. Open. It was just different. I was much more relaxed. And Federer is so great in the way that he just disarms you. Like when you're coming on the court, he's so casual. He's so warming. And he's just, you know, hey man, let's go. We start hitting a few balls up short, back up. You know, everything is it's easy going. You miss, it's not a big deal. You know. And so then when I hit with him this time at the U.S. Open, it was he remembered me. We talked about the conversations we had, you know, on the changeovers the year before. And everything is just great. So after the first time with Federer, I said, man, I just practiced with Roger Federer. Yesterday was a little bit different. Yesterday, I think, was a little bit more. I think it was almost a little bit I felt more nerves. I felt more of a sense of, oh, my God, I'm on the court with Serena Williams.
Yeah.
The greatest, most accomplished tennis player to walk the earth, male or female, in my opinion. So, and then also knowing that, you know, Jameer and Patrick Maradoglu, they helped to set it up.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come in and you know, I guess be a little bit of a disappointment for the practice. So first couple minutes were tough. I'm not going to lie. I missed a few too many balls. And she didn't say anything. She was so gracious. She was so nice. And I kind of had to walk to the back. I had to shake off the nerves. And I said, all right, let's go. After that, the practice... Honestly, I wish I were exaggerating, but I'm not. That might have been one of the cleanest hours of just ball striking I've ever had in my entire life. I've hit with plenty of people.
Yeah.
That was one of the cleanest hours that I've ever had, and not just from me, but from the person that I'm hitting with. I have not seen balls come at me that clean and crisp and hard from anybody consistently over and over and over again. Someone who could handle my pace, someone who could handle... You know, even the spin, we're just hitting up the middle, hitting cross courts. It's astonishing at how clean of a ball striker she is. And I'm the real, you know, stamp of approval was afterwards when she walked off. She says, we definitely have to do this again. And the joy that went through my body at that time, I can't even put into words. I said, you know what, I gave her a good practice. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. So, for the past about 24 hours, my social media has been flooded with pictures of me and Serena. And I've been absolutely loving it. And they'll probably continue to get flooded. And... If you don't like it, oh well. But this is a really big time for me, big moment for me, and I just wanted to share it and just kind of show my excitement about it.
And you should, because those moments are pretty rare. I mean, this is a tough business that you guys are in, the demands that are placed upon you. You don't get too many moments of just pure happiness, enjoyment.
Right.
What did you take most out of that? Because I know we've only got a couple minutes left here, and you've got to get a massage. Crazy. But what do you take most out of that? Is it the professionalism that you see from her?
Yes.
Is it the happiness that you draw out of that? What? How you even dealt with those nerves yesterday?
The probably the biggest takeaway would be, I think it goes back to what you said first, the professionalism. And every intent, every shot she hit, there was a purpose behind it, and you could see she was dialed in mentally. I told you, Jameer, during it, I said, man, I don't know how you're not on tour, because if you're practicing like this every single day with this much focus and this much intent, you very well could be right out here playing on tomorrow, you know. So we kind of laughed and joked about that, but just I took that approach a little bit in there with my practice with John today. I did, you know, having errors, just, you know, hitting ball up the middle, you know, just careless errors, you know, cutting that out and kind of digging in mentally. And just saying, you know, we're gonna have a good practice.
Yeah.
Every ball that I see, I'm gonna hit. I'm gonna hit with conviction. I'm gonna hit with purpose, and you know, we're not gonna miss it either.
So yeah.
That was probably the biggest takeaway, just from being able to hit with her. Now, I didn't even get really a chance to sit down and talk with her just yet, just to pick her brain. I'm hoping, you know, if we're able to practice more, I can do that. But just being on the court with her, I learned so much, and I can't wait to take that into, you know, the rest of the year in 2019.
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow.
Well, before we go, and like I said, it is a different level when you're here. The food options are a little bit different than the Challengers.
Yeah.
You have massage waiting for you whenever you
Absolutely.
Really need it.
Yes.
Have you had the opportunity really to share these experiences yet with your family?
Today, I think I sent when I got the professional photos, because I had photos taken on my phone of Serena and I and some videos. But when I got the professional photos this morning, I immediately sent it to my family.
Yeah.
And I think they absolutely loved it. So those have just kind of been a few of the, you know, small, you know, micro, I guess, you know, tidbits that I could, you know, kind of give them. The time difference makes things kind of tough.
Yes.
But I know when I get back home, I'm going to have to answer a lot of questions. I'm going to have to show a lot of pictures and tell a lot of stories. But, you know, it's well worth it. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to, you know, practice with Serena yesterday. It's an honor to, you know, be in qualifying and the advance through quality. So I'm excited. I'm soaking it all in. I can't wait to get ready to go tomorrow.
Have they been able to come visit you at any of the bigger events?
U.S. Open.
Okay.
U.S. Open. I have a cousin who's actually flying in tomorrow.
Okay.
That I think you saw in Knoxville.
Okay.
Said she showed up courtside in a Georgia Tech shirt. I get a text from her after I qualify. She goes, "I'm coming in." I said, "You're joking, no way." And she goes, "No, I booked my ticket. I'm
awesome.
Actually coming." So I will have some family here tomorrow, and hopefully we can make this an extended trip for her as well as myself.
Yeah, it's a big day for Americans tomorrow, huh?
Absolutely.
We were talking with Austin, and just, yeah, there's so many Americans that are in action
on Monday. And I'm hoping we can go on, we can show what we can do.
Christopher, thank you for your time.
No problem.
Go enjoy the massage. You might as well take advantage.
Absolutely. Don't get those every week.
More podcasts coming up throughout the week. For now, Mike Cation signing off on the CoffeeCast with Cation.